Thank you very much for your warm welcoming. Greetings from my wife. She couldn't make it this time. She's not feeling well, and so she asked me to ask you to pray for her. So in your prayers, please remember Ivania, that's her name, so that she may be restored back to her normal life. I'm glad to be back. And today we're going to be talking about marks of a winner. For those who don't know me from the first time, my name is Julio Orozco. I've been involved in church ministry for many years of my life. I'm a PK, Pastor Kid. I left the church during my pre-adolescence years and then come back to the Lord. And after that, I was called to ministry, and I've been doing church planting and doing some cross-cultural ministry in California. And now I'm back in Maryland, which we consider our home state. So it is glad to be here in this church and get to know Billy and his family and some of you. So who wants to be a loser? Nobody, right? We all want to be winners. You know, and it's kind of interesting that when I was praying and preparing for this sermon, I was meditating on Paul's ministry. And God brought me to this passage. And it's interesting that in this particular chapter, Paul is defending his right as a true apostle, someone who has been called to ministry directly by our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a reason why he wrote this second letter, and that is because he wanted to defend his ministry, because some people were talking bad things about him in the church. They were saying that he was a liar, because he promised that he was going to come back when he planted this church, Acts chapter 16. And then he didn't show up for the second visit. There's a lot of things that took place. One of them is that theologians talk about the lost letter, which he sent to Corinth. And they did not receive that letter. Somehow it got lost. And then he wrote again, we have, the second letter. So they missed that part of information where he explained the reasons why he didn't visit this church. But before their eyes, he was a liar still. They accused him to be a false apostle. And they accused him to use the church to make money, to collect money and live through that money that he raised. So in this chapter particularly, he is using a metaphor. He is using this, it's mean, an imperial games at Corinth, which were actually the second only to the Olympic Games in their importance in ancient Greece. And most believers in the church were kind of familiar with these games, and they observed the athletes in their rigorous training. And they used to see how well trained they were to win a race. And so Paul used this as an illustration to teach one thing and only one thing. And this is what he's teaching here. I'm here, he's saying, I'm paraphrasing, to proclaim the gospel. That's it. I'm here to make the gospel known. And I'm doing it with a clear conscience. I don't know what you think about me, but I'm doing it with a clear conscience. And so, he uses this metaphor or illustration to also teach us that reward is at hand if we do it well. Folks, salvation in this context, it's not on state. It is reward. In other words, we as followers of Christ, we need to do good works so that people may see us and may see Him through the good things that we do. And one of the good things and greatest things that we can do is to continue to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that there is a huge difference between reward and being saved by grace. They both come from the Lord, because we cannot do anything in ministry without Him. On the other hand, we need Him so desperately. We know and we remember Ephesians chapter 2, that we are saved by grace. But here, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the verses that we read, it's about competence. It's about how well we're doing. It's about how well disciplined we are in our spiritual journey. It's about legitimate kind of race. Am I running this race in the way that God is being glorified? And I believe that Paul used himself as an example to illustrate this kind of race. And in this chapter, he established what I think it's a principle. The principle goes like this, if we can move the slide. The principle goes like this. A believer in Christ focuses his or her priority on proclaiming the truth of the gospel regardless of what his or her rights are. That's a principle. And based upon that principle, he developed what I think it's what I call my sermon this morning, marks of a winner. You want to see those marks of a winner? And maybe as we go through these marks, what I want you to do is to exercise your mind and your heart and your actions and see if you can fit in one of these marks of a winners. I hope that you will fit in every single one of them. And it is my desire as well to fit in one of those singles marks of a winner. The first one is this. A winner always runs regardless of who wins the prize. In other words, God's word says, do you know that in a race all the runners run, but only one get the prize? And guess who the one is? You. And you. Put your name there. And that's how the first mark of a winner comes about. I don't care who's running around me or next to me. It's me that needs to keep up on the running. There's a second mark here. I think that the key word that I will leave here for you on this first mark is proceed. When you started the race, please, don't stop. Proceed. The second mark will be that a winner runs the race and keeps moving. it doesn't matter how hurt he might become within the race, he just keep on going. He keeps moving. I remember one of my friends who love soccer. His son was playing soccer once, and his son, I think about that time he was about 12 years old, and he was playing with older guys, 20s up. And these guys, they were playing like if they were playing in the World Cup. They were playing really good. And I remember that one of the older guys hit the ball, and this friend's son, the son of my friend, he was running, and the ball hit his tummy. And it was really hard. And I remember this little boy going like this and almost falling down to the floor. And his dad from the pews, he was saying, "Son, keep running. Don't stop. Keep running." And the little boy went like this. And then he recovers the air and continue the race, continue the competition. So the second mark of a winner is it doesn't matter how hard you are hit. And you can translate those hits as problems, difficulties, situations. But this is what the Word of God says. Put the verse back. The verse says, runs in such a way that you get the prize and pursue. But not only that, I believe that it's A.W. Tozer who says that. Let's put A.W. Tozer here. He says, we pursue God because and only because he first put an urge within us that spurs us to pursue it. That's the next slide. Can you put that one? So he was saying, keep moving, pursue, don't stop. That's what he was saying to his son. And so he was hit, and he was hit bad, but he kept moving and moving and moving. So I was saying that it doesn't matter how bad you are hit, the pursuing of God, it's something that it's not birth because of our own desires. In fact, it will not be there if it was not given by God. And that's what A.W. Tozer is telling us when it comes to pursuing God. There is a third mark that I call it, that when a winner starts the race, he is always ready to fight the good fight. That's the next slide. To fight the good fight. Verse 25 says, everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. And I think that the word that I want to leave in this mark is preparedness. You need to prepare yourself. You need to keep training. It doesn't matter if you lost the last game. You need to keep training and being well disciplined. Actually, the word disciple has its roots in the word discipline. And we are called as a church and as followers of Christ to be disciplined in all that we do. And sometimes I confess that I'm not that well disciplined. Sometimes I don't pray the way I should, and I don't read God's word the way that I should. I confess that sometimes I don't want to go to church sometimes. I just wanted to stay home and enjoy a day of rest and being just relaxed. But as a follower of Christ, we are called to keep running and to be prepared at all times. And church is a way for us to continue to be prepared. Coming and fellowship and worship together. And knowing that we are running the same race. And knowing that maybe you are going through the same tough situations. Keep doing it. Keep training. Keep learning. Keep growing. And there's another one. The winner starts the race and keep focus. Keep focus. So he's not only ready in training, but also he keeps focus. Verse 25 says, they do it to get a crown that it will not last. It's an earthly crown. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. And I think that the key word that I want to leave with you here is the word perceive. I remember when I went to high school and I was ready to go to college. I could see in my mind in the future my walking through the stage. And I could see my degree being granted in front of my friends and my family. Yes, I had my up and downs when I went to college. But I finally did it. And those who are planning on going to college, and those who are in college still, keep focus. Don't be distracted. And what a great illustration is that for us as believers when it comes to proclaiming the gospel, which is the principle we are establishing in this passage. Keep focus. We are here to celebrate, and we are here to proclaim, and we are here to lift up the name of Jesus. That's the gospel of Christ. So don't get distracted. Keep focus. No, it doesn't matter how hard people may talk bad against. I love baseball. Baseball is one of my favorite sports. And I used to play baseball. And the pitcher, it's maybe the main character when it comes to the sport of playing baseball. And when the pitcher is losing, people go crazy, and they say, get out of here. And people can say anything from the pews, from the stage. And we have a saying in my own country. I come from a country, Latin American country, that loves baseball. No soccer, but baseball. And we have a saying, you keep pitching, regardless of what people are saying. Keep doing your work. It doesn't matter what people are saying to you. You focus. You know what you're doing. Just keep it up. Keep it up. So perceive that you are indeed the winner that Paul is talking about here. And there's another mark of a winner. And that is that when a winner starts the race, he has a specific goal. Specific goal. Do not only perceive that you're going to graduate, but fulfill that goal. Make it happen. He said, when it comes to preaching the gospel, it's not that we perceive people being saved. Let's make that our goal. That people will hear and that they will know Jesus and that they will be transformed by the power of the gospel. So the verse says here that, therefore, I do not run like a man running endlessly. My first number one sport is boxing. I also was a boxer. So be careful, okay? No, I'm just kidding. But I learned in my teenage that my coach used to tell me, when you're going to punch, make sure that your punch is going to land. It's not like you're going to go like crazy. Just keep it. I don't know if you've seen those boxers that they go like crazy and they start just punching. If they wanted to land one of a punch, but they just keep doing like crazy, that's not the way you do it. You first learn how to do it and you go by structure. 1, 2, 3. You know, you go like 1, 2, 3 and make sure that it will land. It is, you don't go crazy things when it comes to fighting somebody. The same thing when it comes to the gospel. We have a specific goal. We need to make sure that it will land in the right heart and in the right mind. We need to make sure that it will come about. There is a purpose here. In other words, the purpose of preaching the gospel is for people to get saved. And Paul was focused, Paul's specific goal was that. And then there is another one. A winner starts the race and never quit. Never quit. Paul says in verse 27, no. It's not that I will go crazy and doing bad things. No. I have to get self-discipline here. And I know that I need to be focused. I beat my body and make it my slave. He's not talking here about that kind of doctrine that you will beat your body to be better. No, he's talking about being well disciplined, basically. And he says, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. In other words, yeah, and we've seen it. People in ministry might get disqualified because they did not do the right thing sometimes. And we've seen it. We've seen pastors, failures, and leaders will continue to fail. But I'm encouraging you to be that winner that Paul is talking about here. To be the one that will take that crown, that prize. And you know what happened at the end of the Olympic Games back in those years? The crown was presented to the king. And the ovation becomes like crazy in the whole stadium. That's the way it's going to be when you and I get to heaven. Are you bringing a crown to the Lord? What kind of crown are you bringing to him? And if you are like me, okay, Pastor, good. You talk about the marks of a winner, and now I'm feeling guilty. How am I going to do it? And I'm approaching my sharing here with you from the standpoint of love and encouraging, not from the standpoint of being judgmental. Because we all are going to have our failures. We're not perfect. But the point is not to fail. The point is to continue to grow. It's to continue to be standing even though you are being hurt. But that you keep focused. So I want to leave with you a few advices now to start my conclusion. First of all, Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And I think what I leave with you this morning is, first of all, to be a winner, like the one we just described, guard your mind. Do you know where is number one field where the enemy works against us? Our mind. It's there where he is going to bring all kinds of ideas and situations and circumstances. How do you keep your mind guard from the enemy? This is one thing that I learned just recently. Well, not recently, quite a while. We know the enemy is not omniscient. He doesn't know it all. The only one who knows it all is God. And we might reveal our minds when we speak. And the enemy might take advantage of the things that we say and the things that we do. So one way to guard your mind is to tie up your thoughts and bring those thoughts to Christ. That's what the Bible says. If I'm thinking about doing something that I should not do, Lord, give me the strength to bring that to the cross. There is a second passage that I like to share with. And it goes like this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Not only guard your mind, but secondly, take care of your body. Paul is saying here that I ought to bring my body in sacrifice to Christ. What does that mean? It means that I need to avoid the things that my body likes. I like to eat a lot. I don't know about you. But I need at some point, and thanks God for my wife, she helps a lot. But I love food. And if you need somebody to let you know, well, have a friend or brother or sister that will hold it. I need to exercise because if I don't do it, I know I will become lazy. And so I'm exercising a little bit more than I used to. I had what we called in our Hispanic Latino pastor's environment an incorporated pulpit in my body. My tummy was this size. So I used to put my Bible here. No, I'm just kidding. But I was that fat. So I need to take care of my body. If I want to win the race, I need to feed me well. I need to eat well. So there's another one passage that I like to share with you. It says, but instead, one brother takes another to court, and this in front of believers. The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourself cheat and do wrong, and you do this to your brothers and sisters. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkard, nor slanderers, nor swindlers, nor inherit, will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our Lord. Wow, this is a great passage here. What it's saying is, sanctify yourself. Know that you have been separated from this world and taken out of this world to serve God Almighty. And here, I'm going to leave this. Don't lower your spiritual moral standards. So do not only guard your mind, do not only take care of your body, but also guard, don't lower your spiritual moral standard. And again, I'm not sharing this out of a judgmental approach. I respect people's choices. But when it comes to your relationship with God, you know, we need to keep our standards, moral and spiritual standards, up high. Knowing that we have been called by a holy God who demands holiness. There is another one, and I think I'm going to stop here. It's another one that I want to leave you. That is in James 3, 5 to 6. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of a body. No, that's Galatians, I think. Let's put Galatians 5. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Watch your appetites. So watch your appetites. Do not only guard your mind, your body, don't lower your standards, keep them up, but also watch your appetites. I think I'm going to stop here because it's very important for you to process all this information. So again, when it comes to church, it's not about knowledge, brothers and sisters. It's not about gaining and accumulating knowledge. That is good. That's great. I think that we need to get to know the Bible and dig down on God's principles. But we need also to process what God is telling us and how am I going to respond. every time we come to church. That's the challenge. And I think it's a waste of time for us when we come to church and we leave the church the same way we came in earlier. My challenge to you is that you want to be a winner, process those marks that we talk about it. Engage in one of those advices that I gave you. Guard your mind. Guard your body. Don't lower your spiritual standard. Keep them high. Watch what you eat. The appetite is one of the things that I keep in mind. Because if I know that going through this street is not going to be good for me, well, I better change and go to another route and use another street. Because I know on this street there are things that will attract me and distract me. So I'll better go to this way. And that's a wise person. That's a wise winner. Let us pray. Lord, we know that your word is true. And we know that doing what your word tells us to do is one of the main keys to be successful in life. And so, Father, we come to you and we want to reflect upon what we've been told this morning, beginning with me. The things that I need to change in my life in order to continue to be in the race, to continue to be focused and to continue to have that purpose in life. So, Father, I pray that in the power of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters and myself may be able this morning to say, Father, I want to live a life that will reflect the marks of a winner. I want to live a life that will reflect those things that you want me to be and to become. Not what the world wants me to be, but you. So help me to be focused. Help me to be looking unto Jesus, who's the finisher, who's the author and finisher of our faith. And if there's a sin that we have committed, Lord, we confess that we need to repent and ask your forgiveness at this time. If we have thought and if we have felt and sensed and if we have done things that are not pleasing to you this morning, personally and corporately, we confess and we repent of those sins. And ask you, Father, to fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit. So that when we leave this building and go through the weak days that are coming, that we will continue to show those marks of a winner. I pray this prayer in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.